Please stand for the gospel. Okay, so before I read it, I just want to tell you real quickly, we skipped five chapters from last week, so you know where we are in the story, and now we're moving into the passion narrative. So we're getting ready to hear all those stories that lead us up to the cross, that lead us up to Easter. That's where we are. And while up to now, as we've been reading through John, we've been talking about how different John is from the other gospel writers, right? How he did things differently, he focused on different things. But now that we're going into the passion narrative, now John kind of falls in line with the others and tells the story very similarly, follows the same pattern that the other gospel writers did. And the reason for that is most likely that these were the most important stories to the church, the early church. These were the core stories. So they were the first ones that got solidified, you know, within the oral tradition. They're the first ones that really got nailed down. And so we have this continuity within the gospel writers. So the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teachings. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" Peter denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So in today's Gospel, we see a very different side of Peter than we've seen before. The Peter we usually see is brash and enthusiastic. He's the first to volunteer an answer, even if he gets the answer wrong, which he often did. If you remember last week, Peter was the only one who said to Jesus, no, don't wash my feet. You shouldn't do that. I can't let you wash my feet. And then quickly turned around and said, "Wash all of me, not just my feet." And both times, he completely missed the point of what it was Jesus was doing. Then, in the chapters that we skipped, in the garden with Jesus when the soldiers came to arrest him, Peter steps up to defend Jesus. He draws his sword and he jumps into the fray and cuts off a man's ear. And guess how Jesus felt about that? Not good. Jesus was not happy about it. Even after all of the time that Peter had spent with Jesus, listening to him and learning from him, once again, he misses the point of all that Jesus had taught him, and he resorts to violence. That's the Peter that we're used to. The Peter that jumps in with both feet. Peter always has good intentions, but he gets it wrong so often that it's comical. One thing is for sure, Peter always approached discipleship with passion and with boldness. Just a few chapters earlier in John, when Jesus is talking about his own approaching death, Peter boldly proclaims that he would lay down his life for Jesus. But then, in today's gospel, gone is the bold, brash Peter who's almost reckless in his following of Jesus, and instead we find him scared, hovering along the edges, hiding and lying about his relationship with Jesus. So what happened? What changed? Well, it's impossible to know for sure, but it seems as though Peter finally got it. He finally understood what it was that Jesus had been trying to warn the disciples about. Jesus had warned them that his death was approaching, had told them that he was going to be killed. But at that time, Peter didn't want to or couldn't accept that. But now, here they were, and the truth of what Jesus had told them is now unavoidable. Jesus has been arrested in the darkness of night, and he's not even being given a trial. All signs show that Jesus' death sentence was set before he was even arrested. So no longer able to deny or avoid the situation, and faced with the terrifying and violent reality that Jesus was in custody and that his execution was being planned, Peter was scared. Simple as that. Peter was scared. And rightfully so. This was a life-threatening situation. Now, personally, I can't relate to what Peter was going through in this story. I've never experienced that life-threatening fear that Peter was facing. But I do relate to fear that can paralyze, fear that can keep me from action, can keep me from doing something because it's too scary or too risky. In fact, I can think of so many examples of times that I've seen a need or wanted to help, but fear held me back. And I mean, we have lived with so much fear over the past couple of years. I can't even begin to list all the ways that fears can stunt us or hold us back. The way that fear can make us act not like ourselves. I have so much compassion for Peter because that fear that he had, that risk that he faced, it was real. His life was on the line. And personally, I think that his response, that self-preservation, was really understandable. But at the same time, it also kept Peter from doing the thing that he loved the most, following Jesus. In that moment, fear kept Peter from being the disciple that he wanted to be. It kept him from following that path of life that Jesus had shown him, that life that can hold up even in the face of death. Fear held Peter back. But the good news is that Jesus was not held back. Faced with the same risk, the same fear, the same threat, Jesus did not back down. Even when he knew that they were going to kill him, Jesus continued to act out of love and to boldly speak the truth. The good news is that even in the face of violence, even in the face of injustice, even in the face of our constant failure to follow, to speak up, to do the right thing, God doesn't stop. God doesn't give up and doesn't back down. You know, we are the hands and feet of God in the world, right? We talk about that here all the time. And that is true. We are called to care for others and to share God's love in the world. But we will always fall short. Always. Just like Peter, no matter how good our intentions, we will miss the mark. We are selfish sometimes, and we are fearful. So sometimes we don't speak up when we should, and we don't help when we could. That's the reality, that we are human. We are not perfect, and we do not always get it right. But God does. And what's more, God is still able to use us, even with all our shortcomings. The story of Peter's denial, this is our story. The embarrassing and painful truth of our failings. And yet, this is not the end of Peter's story. Jesus comes back to Peter after the resurrection and gives him the chance to try again, gives him the chance to make things right, to boldly speak the truth three times. And Peter does. And Peter goes on to become Saint Peter, right? The one who God used to build the church. Because that's what God does. Scared human failures, misguided goofballs, that's who God works with. God chose Peter with his passion and his boldness and with his fear and his failings. And God chooses each of us with all of the many gifts that God has given us and with all of our shortcomings. We are the hands and feet of God, and we are not perfect. But that's okay, because it is the perfect love of God, love that never stops, that never backs down. It is that perfect love of God that works through us. Thanks be to God. Amen.